What's up, guys?
Hey,
Josh.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just going to play some bumper music because I'm the producer.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to add some flavor to it. When
I love it.
For the wonderful Charlie, who's off today.
Playing golf.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and it's raining, so he doesn't complain about the rain when
that
it goes.
That sounds so... Golf's miserable enough as it is. Playing in the rain... Oh, gosh. Sorry, go ahead. I digress.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's start out with some sausage grabbing, shall we? Time to...
Wait a minute.
Josh? No, it's not that kind of show. Calm down. The Twins have won four straight, looking for their fifth straight win today as they host the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. Given the lengthy streak they've had recently, embarked on and now beginning another one, while still being 6.5 games now behind the Guardians, is the AL Central still the, quote, weakest division in baseball? Dave, we'll start with you.
The heck if I know. it's just amazing to me listening that, you know, now they're 6.5 games back, and they were just, seems like it wasn't too long ago that they were 2.5 games back. I don't know. I don't think they're that it's the worst division in baseball. I mean, you know, you look at the AL West, the leaders only have 20, is one game above 500. So at least in the American League, they're not the worst. They're probably right behind that. So I would say no, they're not the Central is not the worst division in baseball. It's close, but it's not the worst division in baseball.
I 100% agree with you, Dave. I look at this thing and I'm like, well, wait a minute now. I'm not saying that the Twins are fantastic. They're playing better than 500, but, you know, that's something to be said for that. Kansas City actually is playing really well. Cleveland's playing really well. And it's just the Sox that really totally stink. Ooh, but you look at the AL West, it's like, all right, does anybody have a winning record? Only Seattle.
One game above,
So there's no way we're the worst division, but we're but I actually think we've got a little bit of strength the way Kansas City's been playing, especially the way Cleveland's been playing. I mean, they've won, what, 9 of the last 10? They're a pretty daggone good team, actually.
The Twins need consistency, man. I mean, this 7-game wins, 4-game losses, whatever, 10-win, 3-loss, like, it's just got to go, and you got to get it going that way all the time. Good to have Buxton back. I really hope that they don't rush Royce Lewis back. I know the inclination is to get him in there right away as soon as he gets off this stint, but just hang on. It's only May. You're sitting there 6.5 games back. I mean, you know, you got some pad there. I would not rush him. That's just me.
All right. Let's switch things on over to the NFL. Have you guys heard of this guy named Aaron Rodgers before?
Who?
Exactly. After some rough stints in the coaching realm for Mr. Nathaniel Hackett, as he's now the OC for the New York Jets, that's offensive coordinator for those keeping score. And Aaron Rodgers recently spoke to the media, giving him praise, saying, you should trust me, and we should all trust Nathaniel Hackett. I want to get your thoughts, Pete. You'll start out with this one. What's your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett taking the OC job with it's already kind of been a stagnant Jets start for this guy's legacy as quarterback?
Yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers really, really likes him and was very defensive of him last year when the Denver coach was taking pot shots at him, right? I mean, I don't even want to get into all of that. That was ridiculous. They never should have done that. But all of that being said, I think if Aaron Rodgers says Nathaniel Hackett is the right guy, who am I to say he's wrong? I like Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, last year we were all so excited about it. We had all the TV and everything was going on, and all of a sudden we lose him for the season. It was unbelievable. So it's hard to really rank, like, where is he as a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator and everything. He's been a head coach. I think if Aaron Rodgers likes him, I think these guys have a shot. And if Aaron has bounced back as well as I'm hearing he has, this could be a really, really interesting team, I think, in the AFC this year.
Here's my only problem, and this is the question I want to follow up with. Why does Aaron Rodgers like Nathaniel Hackett so much? Is it because Nathaniel Hackett is finding things in his game that is improving him and that is stretching him and all this good stuff? Or is it because Nathaniel Hackett basically said, hey, man, do whatever you want. Just win games. You go. I don't care what you do. Because I feel like Aaron Rodgers wants to do things his way always, which probably is – just a quarterback quality by and large, because you're just used to controlling things. My question is, and I don't have an answer, is why does he have so much faith in Nathaniel Hackett? Why does he love Nathaniel Hackett? Because that's where it is. Is he a doormat, or is he someone who's inspiring and pushing him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for that one either, but I just think that, you know, at this age and the length of what he's got left as a starting quarterback in the NFL, if Aaron Rodgers has some sort of a great relationship with him, I think you got to go with that and let them do what they do. And Breece Hall, and there is a lot of talent on that Jets team, but those injuries started to stack up and they just fell apart. Now, I'd love to see them healthy to see exactly, okay, where are they really? Because there's a heck of a lot of talent on that football team.
Well said. Well said. And by the way, Dave, you should just text Aaron Rodgers and ask him so you can
respond
with, please lose my number, you know. Just like
we met at the darkness retreat.
Yes. Yes, you're very familiar with the darkness retreat.
I may have gotten the number off by one. He hasn't returned the text, but I couldn't see the numbers on my phone because it was dark.
Yeah. Sorry. Dave Schwartz, big darkness retreat guy.
Big darkness retreat guy.
All right, moving on to we're sticking with football for this one. The NCAA announced late Thursday night into Friday morning that it had reached a settlement to pay student athletes going forward. Each party that has agreed to this revenue sharing plan will be distributed roughly $20 million per year.
We're talking about this later, you know.
Yes, we're not going to dive too deep into it.
Fair enough.
But I do want to ask this question to you, Dave. Will this settlement help curtail some of the NIL situation that's kind of become a mess in football?
In a word, no. This is going to make everything worse. We've said this all the time, Pete. I mean, this idea that we have to pay these college athletes. There's no way to make this fair and equitable, and that's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. Because, again, and I've said this before, a football player on, let's just say, Cal, Pete, because that's your team. A football player for Cal is going to make a heck of a lot more money being paid than a swimmer or a field hockey player. Mm-hmm. But the time that they put in and what they dedicate to their craft and the time, quote unquote, working is the same. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give people equal pay for equal jobs. That's a huge problem for me. And it's going to continue to be a problem. And now you're adding in even more money the university is going to pay you, which is a huge issue. So this is a mess, and all they did was make it messier. I cannot believe that we're sitting here right now on May 26th, 2024, and this is where we're at. Because I thought for sure at some point they'd go back and say, listen, we got to try to put Pandora back in the box a little bit. They didn't. They took another Pandora. They smashed the box, and then they vacuumed it up and threw it out. There's no going back.
Yeah, they've ruined the whole idea of amateur athletics, which, you know, everybody has their opinion on this whole matter, obviously, you know, depending on your age and everything else. But I think that the reality is we have already proven that NIL, and I got a little something as a tease for later when we talk about this a little bit more in depth, but I've got a couple of stories for you about the NIL that I've been wondering, when is this going to happen? And it's happening now, guys. And it's not good. It's going to be a much bigger problem than anyone knows. And it's something we're going to kick around a little bit later on. So you better keep listening.
651-461-9226 if you want to get in on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line when we talk about this coming up at 11 o'clock.
Perfect. There you go.